Good morning and welcome to another Sunday edition of Carolina Conference Call, a news and public affairs presentation of Clear Channel Communications. I'm Roger Davis, and my guest this morning is a name well known to many in the upstate, Annette Estes, longtime television news anchor reporter, turned media consultant and management coach to business clients all around the country, is now also an author. We visit with Annette today and talk about her book entitled, Why Can't You See It My Way? Annette, good to see you again. Thanks so much for coming in to be on the program.
Good to see you, Roger, always.
It's been a long time.
It has been a while. These half dozen key or peak values indicators that you set out in your book, Why Can't You See It My Way, clearly go a long way as predictors of how we will respond or behave in just about any situation that might arise. And in line with that, if we may, let me begin by just quoting here from the introduction to your book. As I write this introduction, on March 20th, 2003, the United States has attacked Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
As the governments of these two countries engage in battle, people around the world are expressing their support or of their opposition to the war. This war has deeply divided the people of America and other nations. And you go on, interestingly to me, indexed against these six takes, if you will, on the universe, how people's reactions fall in line.
Probably.
To something as poignant and close to home as the Iraq War, something as stirring an issue as that.
I can look at someone's profile and perhaps tell you why, if they would tend to be a liberal or conservative based on their values.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's easy to see what an advantage that could be to someone, for example, not only in the business world, but who has to deal with sensitive situations of all types.
You know? One of my passions is helping people in business together, well, personal too, but to get along, to understand, to respect one another, to show positive regard for one another, because there's so much conflict in the world, and you may have a business team trying to make a major decision for the company, and they can't decide what to do because they all have different beliefs and ideas on what should be done. I'll give you a quick example from the book, and this is a true story. I think this happened just so I could put it in this book someday. I have a client in Colombia who's a president of a company, and this company provides services. And I was doing briefings with him, going through his values profile and looking at how his values reflect how he runs his company.
Yeah.
And he was high in the utilitarian value, which is a desire for not just for money and the things it will buy, but a return on investment of time, talent, and resources.
Right.
If they invest in anything, they want to get a return, and they get stressed.
Cost-benefit analysis.
Exactly. And they're very business-oriented, bottom-line oriented.
Yeah.
He was low in the social value. Social means humanitarian. And the people who are high in the social value are the ones who would really put other people above their own. They would give away their last dime to a homeless person.
Okay. Yeah.
The social difference between high and low social, I say, this is just my own idea, is the high social person will give a hungry person a fish, and the low social will teach the person to fish.
All right. Yeah, the classic
analogy. So, anyway, he was high utilitarian, low social. He told me during our session that one of the things he was proudest of was that he never let employees borrow money from the company.
Okay.
So, you see, very bottom line, interested in the company, making profit, so forth.
Right, right.
The following week, I was doing the same thing with another man who was the president of a different kind of company, makes products. He was the opposite. He was high in the social value, low in the utilitarian value. And he just volunteered. I didn't ask either of them this. It was just so cool, weird how it came out. But they both volunteered. He said, you know, one of the things that I am proudest of as president of this company is that I set up a credit union so employees could borrow money from
me. Amazing. The 180-degree diametric.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine these two men as business partners are on the same business team? So by understanding the values, you can understand where the different people are coming from.
Yeah.
You can help to influence, you know, your own point of view. You can influence them to your point of view.
Yeah. Amazing.
And just come to a consensus easier and just understand. I think getting along with people, whether you're a leader of people or whether you're a follower or a peer.
All right.
To get along with people, understanding comes first. Yeah. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do, is understanding behavioral styles, which is how you do things.
Yeah.
And understanding the values, which is why you do them.
I just can't help sitting here wondering where Donald Trump comes in on this scale.
In fact, I write a column every 2 weeks for the Easley Progress.
Yeah.
and I decided to write a column on leadership. And I said in the column, the very first one, I said, I don't like TV reality shows. I can see average Joes and Janes every day. When I watch TV, I want to be entertained by a professional.
Oh, amen. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
However, The Apprentice intrigued me, the concept. So I started watching just to see what I could learn about business. And what I've learned is Donald Trump's attitude toward leadership. So I started writing these columns. And I'm going to send him a copy if I can get his email address or address. I'm going to send him a copy because the headline is of the first column is, Could You Survive Donald Trump? And what I did was I interviewed a number of business leaders and community and professional leaders from around the country and asked them what they think makes a great leader. And I got some wonderful answers. I'm just having so much fun writing these columns.
Wow.
Donald Trump is high in the individualistic value, which is the desire for power and control.
Sure.
That's obvious.
Legendary.
And he's high. His top two are, his second one is utilitarian.
Yeah.
Money, power, results.
Marginal utility doctrine is his creed. Yeah.
I'd love to do his profile, but I think I could probably, beyond that, I'm not sure. The other value, let me go through the others. I've mentioned three. The others are theoretical, which is a passion for knowledge.
Yeah.
People who are always carrying a book around and reading and surfing the net and can't pass by a bookstore.
Sure.
You know, just have to have knowledge about everything. Knowledge just for the sake of having. They may not want to apply it, but they want to have it and be smart.
Okay.
Show you how smart they are.
Yeah, people who might buy your book, after all.
Oh, I love high theoretical people. They're probably, I haven't profiled everyone who's bought it, but those are the people who, yes, I'll read anything. And the other two are aesthetic, the desire for balance, beauty, form, and harmony in life.
Okay.
In all areas of life.
Hmm.
So they would care very much about the environment. They would be against the war. This is why so many people in Hollywood are against the war. They're high aesthetic. They're very creative. See, the high aesthetic, you'll find them in the arts and in music and landscaping and photography and design.
Sure. Yeah, certainly in performance fields.
Yeah. And I'll give you the last one, then I'll tell you a personal story on myself, in case my former bosses are listening. The last one is traditional, which is basically religious or spiritual.
Sure.
A belief in a higher self, a higher unity and order of life, and a certain path to follow. My top two, you haven't asked, but I'll tell you, are utilitarian and aesthetic.
Huh.
So what I have to have is I have to have beauty and balance, form and harmony in life, and the money to buy it or to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking back when I worked in television as a news anchor, you know, I was very well paid. I was on salary.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had to work overtime, I didn't get paid anymore for it. Okay, keep in mind, I'm high utilitarian, so being paid well really satisfied that value.
Right.
But the stress of the news business really conflicted with my aesthetic value.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, those two are very conflicting values.
Yeah, it sounds like it on the face of it, it would be.
So and this sounds terribly selfish, but please understand, this is just, I've really analyzed myself now that I've learned this.
Yeah.
When I would, like, say during a ratings or sweeps period, they would have me go out and do a series and do this and that, and I'd have to, like, work from 9 in the morning till midnight.
Yeah.
And I would just, it would just destroy the balance I have between rest, work, and recreation.
Mm-hmm.
If I work too much and don't play enough, I get stressed.
Mm.
If I play too much and don't work enough, I get stressed. So these two... Actually, these two values for me, my high aesthetic value keeps me from working all the time because the utilitarian is working.
Right.
My high utilitarian value keeps me from playing all the time.
Okay.
Well, I say that in the book too.
Yeah,
so it's very, so I think people would see me as, she doesn't want to work. She's like elitist and, you know, we're out here doing the work. Well, the high aesthetic will never become a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do are forced to, then they have to, they're going to get stressed.
But
I guarantee you, if a man and wife are argue over money, it's because one of them is high utilitarian and the other is low.
Right. Okay.
And so understanding it now, if both people understand that in the other and say, okay, you're not crazy, you're not evil, you're not doing this just to get at me, this is just the way you are, these are your passions. If you can understand the other person's passion, then...
So at least a transactional process is now getting underway.
And then you give the person permission to be who they are, and you love them or like them for who they are rather than what you want them to be.
Okay.
We always try to change people.
Yeah.
Look at them as giving you balance. Oh, and I want to point out, there's nothing wrong with being high or low in any of these.
Yeah.
Everyone, no matter where your values
fall. It's not
a
rating, particularly.
Absolutely.
By
wherever you're at, you're going to have strengths and weaknesses based on whether you're high and low.
Yeah. Annette Estes' book, Resolving Values Conflicts at Work and at Home. Does include in the final chapter a section on applications.
Yeah,
as we were saying, in various situations, not just the workplace, but the book is available basically at
from me and at the Open Book. Okay. And I'm going to be talking with some other bookstores in the area.
Yeah,
to see if they'll carry it to independent bookstores. But it's self published, so it's not. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have it in Barnes and Noble, places like that.
Well, even though this is your first book, as it turns out, with your with your newspaper column, you had it practically written. It just took some other folks to help you see that.
I wrote a whole series of columns on the DISC behaviors and how to manage people with each style and how to get along and so forth. And then I wrote a series of columns on the values and took each one and went into depth on it. And my coach, who's a lady from Connecticut, I've never met her, but she was on the Today Show once, so I saw her, who's also written a book.
Yeah.
She read the columns, and she said, "You've got a book there." And I went, "Oh, who has time to write a book? I've got all these things to do. I don't have time to sit down and write a book." Okay, fine. But then there's a man who teaches people who want to become certified behavior and values analysts. He teaches courses. And actually, he's also has that same designation I do, and he's been doing it longer. He probably knows more about it than I do, maybe. And he sent me an email and said, "These columns are so good, no one's ever really written all this down before since Spranger's book in 1928, which is very theoretical.
Yeah.
And he said, "May I use these columns in my classes if I give you credit?" And I said, "Yes." And then I said, "You know, if he thinks they're that good, maybe I do have a book there." And about a year ago in March, I just started writing.
Yeah.
And so go to the Open Book and buy it, please.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating stuff. And I once tried for another company I was working for to get, I picked up Edward Deming's book when I his
TQM,
and even though he is a legend, a practical saint in the as you say, the TQM philosophy, and I have to also say I would recommend it for insomniacs as well. This is different. I mean, this how I gonna tell you? I've just been sitting here as we've been chatting, as a matter of fact, and reading stuff and seeing. Seeing myself here and there, but mainly seeing other people I know.
Oh, and that's why I was asking you, if you can tell me what you think are your top two, I'm going to read that page and see if you think it sounds like you.
Okay.
But before we get to me, with the presidential campaign, of course, plotting toward its peak, and another round of statewide primary elections this summer, have you had a chance to maybe make some estimates about some political personalities?
Politicians, I think a lot of politicians are high in the individualistic value.
Sure.
And the social value.
Yeah, would have to be.
If you don't mind, in fact, I would like to read that
page.
It's just a page on each one, and I'm shuffling around. Like I found the other one.
Because the whole politics thing, you have to get off on an ego trip at some level.
Sure.
And then you have to really want to do something for somebody, because a lot of it is thankless work. You know?
Uh-huh. Not all politicians. I mean, everybody is across the board. You can have a politician whose highest value is aesthetic. The aesthetic across the country is the lowest.
Wow.
In other words, most people rank sixth in that. And almost every business person I do ranks really low in that. Here's the page. When I was a television news anchor, this was for Channel 7 years ago.
Sure.
Former life. That wasn't in the book. I just threw that in. I was sent to Washington, D.C. to do a special series on South Carolina's congressional delegation. One congressman I interviewed told me he always knew he'd be a preacher or a politician because he wanted to serve.
Hmm.
So obviously he's high maybe in the traditional social value.
Yeah, you just have to say,
I can't help but believe that he was also high in the individualistic value, because a politician must enjoy power or he won't be happy in government.
Yeah, for sure.
These types of politicians do want to serve through a kind of government that gives them control over their constituents' lives. They believe a socialistic type of government is best for their country. They truly believe that.
Well.
That I want to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. These
and
populist, humanitarian.
But I'm going to control you. I'm going to take your money. I'm going to tell you how to live your life. You know, that sort of
paternalism,
thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, you know, rebel against that.
Sure. And this, as a national trait, we tend to rebel against that.
Yeah.
Or so we say.
But then I finish it up by saying, if these are your two highest values, you will enjoy being the head of a charitable organization.
Yeah.
You will be a leader of community activities.
Yeah.
You may suffer some internal conflict between selfless giving and self-positioning.
Yeah.
And the other one that I wanted to read, this is someone from Greenville, and many people will know this person. I won't say his name. Okay, this is a combination of aesthetic and individualistic. You love harmony and power. which may cause internal conflict because living in harmony might diminish your power.
Oh.
You will enjoy heading up beautification and environmental projects, heading them up. Okay?
Okay.
If you love the arts, you'd rather be a conductor than a member of the orchestra.
Okay.
I know an artistic director of a theater in this area
who's
high in these two values clusters. He's demanding of his actors and staff, and many find it difficult to work with him. But no one questions the power and passion of the performances he produces. If these are your highest values clusters, you may struggle with finding the balance you desire because of your workaholic tendencies.
Interesting.
So some people will know who he is, a wonderful man, and I love him.
Yeah. Great stuff. Well,
so do you know what your top two are?
I really do believe that I am ideal constantly or adjust to the conflict between wanting to be nice to me and wanting to be as nice as I can to the other people.
Yeah.
I'll try to please as many people as I can. Okay. I've been both complimented and criticized for a trait of wanting to please.
Let me, if that's really your strongest factor, you think, I am guessing that you are high in the S, that your S behavioral factor is high because that wants to please and serve others.
Yeah.
The I wants everybody to like them.
But I want to do it on my own terms if possible. So.
Right. So you may also be high in the social value. Do you consider yourself a humanitarian type person who would just give to everybody who asks, can't say no?
Can't say no, you hit the nail on the head. Right? So you end up overcommitted, you know, of course, and things
that's
like that.
That's either the high S-fact behavioral factor or the high social or a combination of both. One time I was coaching an executive team, and one of the women on the team was high in the S-factor and the high social. She couldn't say no to anybody, and this is a pretty big company. And everybody in the company was coming to her to, like, order them airplane tickets and do their dry cleaning. I mean, everybody in the company
naturally
is coming to her.
They'll take advantage of it.
And she was just on Valium. She was just going crazy because she couldn't say no. And she was also high in the traditional value, and she was a Christian. And I said, okay, you read the Bible. I said, Jesus said that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, not more than ourselves or less than ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's very important to love yourself, love your neighbor equally.
Yeah.
The egotistical people love themselves more. The humanitarian, high social will love others more and neglect their own needs. And when you do that, you're going to suffer. So the point is, understand your value, understand your tendencies, and through getting coaching from me, learn how to improve in those areas where you're actually going overboard and causing yourself unneeded stress. I'm very hard on myself because my high aesthetic is undisciplined. I'm like this free spirit, spontaneous, right-brained, high kinesthetic, you know. And so I have trouble sometimes disciplining myself to work, and yet I work very long hours, but it's not always working on the thing that you have to do. And so then I'll beat myself up. My utilitarian will beat up the aesthetic part of me, saying, you didn't get the right things done, or you didn't get enough done, and yet I'm working to. So I have to really work on that, and my coach helps me with that. She helps me to see that I do not have to get it all done in one day. Give me your email address.
And at Estes, CPBA, CPVA, remembered by almost all of us, of course, in this region as a television journalist and now an author of Why Can't You See It My Way?
You mentioned that this book is very easy to read. This
it
book
is.
Will not put you... You could probably read it in an hour or two. There are a lot of quotes from famous people. What I start each chapter with a quote. For example, in The Aesthetic, I'll pick that one since that's my highest. I quote Keats, who said, a thing of beauty is a joy forever.
Right.
Beauty is truth. Truth, beauty. That is all ye know and all ye need to know. That resonates with me.
Yeah.
Okay? I could have said that. All right. I'm going to read the quote at the beginning of each chapter, okay, on each of these values. Does this sound like Roger? Is this your passion? This would be your motto for living. Francis Bacon, knowledge is power.
Can't say that would be.
Okay, so we're looking at probably not, your theoretical's not your highest.
Although you have to concede he's probably right about that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, that actually reflects two values, the theoretical and the individualistic. Exactly. I mean, that perfectly in three words.
Yeah.
You know, gives you three chapters here. Okay, the utilitarian value. I love this quote, too, because it's funny. Woody Allen said, money is better than poverty, if only for financial reasons.
Yeah.
I resonate with that one. Do you? Do you think you're high in the utilitarian value?
No, I can probably prove at a number of levels that that's not true of me.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do instead. Instead of reading the quote at the beginning, I'm going to read, at the end of each chapter, I have a famous quote from Bartlett's, that that expresses a high value and the low.
Yeah, yeah.
So
even
let me go through this and you
tell,
you tell me which one resonates with you. Lawrence Stern said, the desire of knowledge, like the thirst of riches, increases ever with the acquisition of it. That's high theoretical. Low theoretical was Thomas Huxley, who said, the great end of life is not knowledge, but action. Okay, let's look at the utilitarian. Alexander Pope said, get place and wealth, if possible, with grace. If not, by any means, get wealth and place. Yeah. So that's actually high individualistic high utilitarian.
That ain't me.
That's not you.
No.
Okay. Oliver, this is the low utilitarian. Oliver Goldsmith said, his best companions, innocence and health, and his best riches, ignorance of wealth.
Well, I mean, you know, that would certainly say more Roger than...
So you're low in the utilitarian.
Than Mr. Pope would,
Okay. So in other words, by saying low, you're either 4, 5, or 6 probably, not 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
The aesthetic, high aesthetic, while with an eye made quiet by the power of harmony and the deep power of joy, we see into the life of things. That's Wordsworth.
Yeah.
You read the... Do you have it?
The low aesthetic, like on the other hand, I don't want harmony. From love of humanity, I don't want it. I would rather remain with my unavenged suffering and unsatisfied indignation, even if I were wrong. From the Brothers Karamazov, Dostoevsky.
So which one of those do you kind
While you were reading the Wordsworth, I felt good. I started smiling. It's like hearing a piece of music.
The individualistic, I love this, but I don't know who John Godfrey Sachs was, but he wrote a poem called The Game of Life, and I love this.
Yeah.
In battle or business, whatever the game, in law or in love, it is ever the same. In the struggle for power or the scramble for pelf, let this be your motto, rely on yourself. And pelf is money, usually unwarranted gain.
Right,
Not gotten in the... So that's high individualistic. Right. Low individualistic from Shelley, the poet, power... like a desolating pestilence, pollutes whatever it touches.
Unfortunately, I agree that that is entirely possible, that eventually it does.
Which one do you really is like,
I'd have to go with Shelley on that one.
Okay, so low in the individualistic value.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Shelley.
All right. And then the traditional is the last one. I quote the Bible, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Yeah, yeah.
And the low traditional from Karl Marx, religion is the opium of the people.
Oh, no. It doesn't, even if you took it out of a spiritual context, faith without works is 0 times 0, regardless of whether you're quoting the deity or a practical thing.
Do you think then, from doing this, that your high theoretical and aesthetic would be your highest?
I'd have to agree that it is.
Okay, if you think you're high in the theoretical or aesthetic, here's the page on you, and you can tell me if you think this is right. Okay, left brain versus right brain, logic versus emotion, thinking versus feeling. This values cluster can keep you tossing and turning. If these are your top two values, you'll particularly like learning about the arts, artists, thinkers, science, and the environment. You'll scoff at things that you see as dumb, mundane, or ordinary. Does that sound like you?
I'm afraid so.
Okay, well, that may be... No, don't be proud of who you are.
Yeah, but I hear a lot of my attitude there.
Your theoretical side loves to spend hours in bookstores. So many books, so little time. Like the character Rory in the television show Gilmore Girls, you'll carry a book wherever you go and read at every opportunity. But your utilitarian side may make you feel guilty that you're wasting time when you could be doing something.
Yeah.
So you may spend energy fighting with yourself over how much reading is too much, unless you're learning something you can put to good use. You may compromise and focus more on useful knowledge, or you may convince yourself that it's all useful. So you will be in your element in a job where they pay you to learn, or if you're a writer who gets paid well, you'd probably enjoy being a contestant on Jeopardy as long as you win.
As long as I win. I do have to say, it is true, and anybody who knows me understands this. Do not go with me into a bookstore or a museum, for that matter, because at some point, you'll be ready to leave. Long before.
Yeah. And you read all kinds of books, not just.
Yeah, I do.
Do you read fiction?
I probably read more nonfiction.
Okay. Definitely high theoretical.
And I'm the kind of I could sit down even with a set of encyclopedia and amuse myself, because I did that a lot as a kid.
Oh, right.
And I'll do it on the internet now,
Yeah. So people who are low in the theoretical value, the conflict you would have, if they're low theoretical, you would have conflict because they might see you as an intellectual snob. And and if they're
dilettante
someone who's high in the utilitarian value would say, Roger, you know, what's the point of having knowledge if you don't use it?
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, okay. And then someone high in the – now, the aesthetic and theoretical, like I say, are really conflicting. They'll conflict because they're so emotional and right-brained, and you're like, no, it's got to be, you know – got to look at this logically and rationally explain it and so forth.
Very interesting stuff, Annette. And thanks a lot for taking time to come by.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Talking about it on the program.
The book is Why Can't You See It My Way by Annette Estes. It is available at the Open Book. And Annette, thanks again.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with us as well. Until next week, you can reach me on the web. Email rogerdavis@clearchannel.com. Or write Post Office Box 100, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Carolina Conference Call is a news and public affairs presentation of Clear Channel Communications.